Let's hear the words of our loving Father. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Now from the New Testament, Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servant. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made, so that the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, and has I mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he had should pay all his debts. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. Amen. Please be seated. I'll tell you one thing, it is so good to get rid of this mask. It is hard to talk. I know some of you are very efficient about making that mask stay on your nose, but I just haven't mastered that yet, and it keeps falling every time I talk. And yeah, and this doesn't help either to know how to take this off. And it's stuck. All right, let's do this. So, there we go. It is on. Oh, sweet. Well, let's start with a word of prayer. I really believe it's so important to prepare our hearts for God's Word. This is a gift to us, hearing God's Word and allowing God to speak to us, and we definitely want our hearts open for His Word, so let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful gift of allowing us to hear your Word, a real Word, a living Word in our lives. Help us to hear what you want us to hear with regard to our own lives, how this Word can truly transform us. And help me, God, to be able to speak the way and the words that you want me to speak. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So I all of us here, I believe, love a great story. We read novels, we watch TV, we watch movies, we love hearing stories from other people, and those stories are important, and we like to share our stories because what it does, it allows people to enter into our lives.
And stories have a very important part in our lives, and especially when it comes to ways that we need to look life differently. And one show that I like a lot, and I have a lot of shows, Lord of the Rings is my big, but my one show I truly enjoy, it's a nerdy show, it's a sitcom, it's called Chuck. Has anybody ever heard or saw that sitcom before? I got one, I got two. It's a great movie. It's about a nerd or a person who was in college in Stanford, okay? And what happened was he was about to graduate. He loved engineering and math and everything, but his best friend betrayed him by planting a test, a cheater's test, into his bedroom. And they caught him, and he was expelled. His degree, everything. His life went down the hills. Not only did his best friend did that to him, but stole his girlfriend. So now Chuck, who is now just very upset with this, but he's now working at Best Buy or Buy More, which is a place where it sells electronics and all that, but he was on the nerd patrol. He was the one that actually fixes computers. Well, he had a weird situation happen to him. His best friend, well, his ex-best friend, went ahead and emailed him this link, okay, right at the beginning of the show. And when he hit that, he was suspicious, but when he hit it, basically what it was a software program that was downloading into his mind. Mac, what happened, his mind became a computer, now had all these phenomenal classified information in his head. Now, you know, when he sees something or he's able immediately, his mind puts it into a computer mode and he's able to see what's going on with that situation. Whether it be a person, whatever your situation, he can immediately identify and help the good guys to find these bad guys. Well, this was an important part, very important for the government, the U.S. government, and they knew they had to protect this guy because the bad guys were out there. So I know I'm building up the story a little bit. So what happened was that they had these two handlers that came from NSA and from CIA to protect him. Well, after a couple series, another agent came in and also was a part of them beating the bad guys out there because he's able to flash, be able to see these things. Well, this guy had a history. He lost his wife. Someone murdered his wife. And he is mourning in that situation. He wants to find who murdered his wife. Well, in the show, it turns out to be that it was Sarah, the other agent. And suddenly, he had this plan to destroy her, to win her confidence, to, you know, to let her know that, you know, that she is very, very special. Even when he revealed to her that she was the one that murdered his wife, you know, Sarah was so beside herself, tried to ask forgiveness, but this guy would never, ever receive the forgiveness that she wanted. So he planned out her death. And I say that story because when you are a person who has been wounded in a very, very major way, what happens is we get in prison and we find ways to hurt that other person. And there's many ways that we find ourselves in prison but also deeply tortured by that wound. It becomes a wound and it affects our lives in so many ways. And we're focusing on this because Jesus Christ knows how important it is for us to release ourselves from that prison and from that torture by forgiving a person. By forgiving a person who done great harms. We know that all wounds, if you don't heal them, will affect the way you live your life. They will. Physical wounds, mental wounds, emotional wounds, somehow they will affect your life, in mostly in a bad way. And one of the best ways that we seek, or one of the worst ways we seek vengeance when a person had hurt us, is we talk bad about that person. We slander that person. We gossip about that person. That is a way to seek vengeance to hurt a person who has hurt you. So keep that in mind. That is not a good thing. So God, Jesus Christ, gives us this great story, one of the amazing story, and it's a parable. Jesus uses stories to help us to kind of connect, to let us see and learn from a truth that he's trying to convey. So he starts. Peter comes up to him and says, "Hey, Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother or sister? Should I 7 times? Because in the Jewish custom, they actually had a limited amount of numbers that you can forgive a person. Some rabbis felt like you only give a person maybe 2 or 3 chances, but the rabbi at the time and the Jewish religion at the time said 7 times. Well, Jesus knows that when you forgive a person even 7 times, it does not help that person one bit, because you're still in prison. You're still being tortured by that person. So Jesus said, hey, that's not the kingdom of God. That's not going to release you from this prison. He said it has to be 7 times 7. He basically says it has to be done in a way that you can be completely healed from that person by forgiving that person through this process. So he gives him a story. He gives this great story about a king who was trying to settle accounts with his servants. And one of his servants, you heard earlier, had a great debt, a huge debt in which the guy can never pay. He could never pay that debt. So he brought him in and say, hey, where is the money? You got to pay up. And he says, I don't have it. And he's planning to put not only himself into prison, but his children and his wife, and continue to pay in the debt. And the servant did what he should have done, and he did. He fell on his knees and said, God, Master King, please forgive me. I can't pay this debt. I can't imagine myself being in this prison. And the king says, hey, it's okay. I've forgiven you this great, great, great debt. I think who we immediately think of this person, is our Father in heaven. We'll talk about that in a moment. But after this great, large, huge debt was forgiven from this servant, he goes out and he finds a lesser servant who had very little debt to him, and he basically jumped on him and said, I want that debt to be paid. And he became wicked, okay? Because Jesus later on talks about wicked and evil. He actually choked him. Jesus made it very clear. He actually was so wicked and was so adamant about getting this debt to be paid, he actually started to choke physically the servant. Again, Jesus giving us a picture that here is this little offense that happened to him, a little debt compared to the debt that he had to pay at one time. He got so angry and so mad that he was going to hurt this person. That little debt, with regard to how great our Father in heaven had forgiven us. Again, reminding us as Christians, as I share later on, that we get ourselves so caught up in someone hurting us that we get so angry that we do something so physically sometimes that it actually affects our emotions, our body, that we want to choke that person, which the way we choke people is seeking vengeance, okay? Because that wound that we have. So what happens is that the other servant saw this and said, oh my goodness, we've got to tell the king. And then the king went ahead and addressed this man again. He summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant. In fact, in the Greek, it's not even wicked. It is evil. Evil servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me and should not have had mercy and should not you have had mercy on the fellow servant as I had mercy on you. In his anger, God, you know, again, Jesus is allowing us to know that God does not like this. He's angered by that. His master delivered him into the jailers, which is a terrible translation from the Greek, and I'll share that with you in a minute, until he shall pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from the heart. That is where the wounds happen, from the heart, like a broken heart. When someone hurts us, there is a wound, and that wound is on the heart. And why we know that is because every time you touch that wound, you emotionally respond to it. That's how counselors can sit back and say, what are the wounds in your heart? And when that counselor starts probing, he sees or she sees that immediate emotional response, knowing that the wound is still active in that person's life. So, first of all, it is evil. It is evil. A person who causes pain and sorrow to another person. Okay? And also we get this picture of prison. He was thrown into a prison. Which that's what happens when we don't forgive somebody. We're thrown into a prison. But the part I want to focus on here is the jailers. In the English Standard Version, as I shared with you earlier, it read that, "And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers." Well, that, I don't know what happened to the translator, but that's not the appropriate translation from Greek. It's not. What was said is that you're going to be thrown into jail and you're going to be tortured by the jailers. That is what the Greek says. And in fact, it is clarified or it is backed up by the NIV. "In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owned." In the American Standard Version, "And his Lord was wroth," which is a word that we haven't heard in a long time, meaning very angry, "and delivered him to his to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due." In the New King James Version, "And his master was angry, delivered him to his torturers until he should pay all that was due to him." And this is one phrase I like. The Message, which is a paraphrase, "The king was furious, and he put the screws into the man until he paid back his entire debt." Jesus was trying to make it very, 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 very clear that when you don't forgive a person, what's going to happen to you is you're going to be put in a prison and you're going to be tortured by that unforgiveness. Made it very clear, and he does not want his disciples to be in that situation. That's why he talked to Peter and said, "Hey, you have to forgive him until you are healed from that wound." So here he is, he talks to us, and he shares this amazing parable that speaks a truth in our lives. So, the first king is a representation of who? God our Father. Yeah, we keep forgetting the great debt that we had before we gave our lives to Jesus Christ. And sometimes we forget that, how God was so gracious and so loving that he received us as we forgive, as we ask forgiveness for their sins. He brings us into the kingdom with that amazing, overwhelming debt that we can never, ever, ever pay. Which is beautiful. In fact, one of the best ways, and I'm going to do this quickly, but there is a great story out there called Les Miserables. Does anybody know that story? Pretty much. You remember, Jean Lejeune was just released from prison after 16 years, 16 and a half years, and now he's traveling from there. They gave him basically a very short period of time to travel from the prison to the place where he has to be checked in by the probation officer. He had nothing. Okay? He had hardly anything. He is struggling. He's hungry. And he was told that he should go to this bishop, which is just a beautiful story, to be there to help him out. So he did. The bishop was so gracious and so kind, fed him and all that. But John, in the middle of the night, Jean Lejeune, in the middle of the night, decided that he had to take silver, the silver that was so precious and so important, because he had nothing. And he goes and steals it. The story is great. He goes, he steals it, but he's caught by the police officers. Well, the sad thing, Jean knows that his life is completely ended. Now he's going to go back in for a greater offense, because the offense that he was put in earlier was the fact that he stole food for his sister. So his life is over. His life is completely over. He's going to be in that prison, hard labor, for the rest of his life. The bishop comes in, the police officers wanted to go ahead and verify that this was his stuff, and the bishop does something that was just so crazy, beautiful, and gracious. And he said, "Ah, here you are," he explained, looking at Jean Valjean. "I'm glad to see you. Well, but how is this? I gave you the candlesticks, tattoo, which are silver like the rest, and for which you can certainly get 200 francs. Why did you not carry them away with your forks and spoons?" And Jean is sitting there just overwhelmed, overwhelmed with grace. And the bishop represents God our Father, who overwhelms us with grace, because there's no way we're able to pay that debt. And then the other one, the other is the servant who now is demanding payment from a very little debt. And Jesus says, that is awful. That person is wicked. That person's evil. And because of that, that person is going to be in prison and is going to be tortured until he or she forgives that person. So this morning, quickly, we're going to look at the theme, unforgiveness will imprison us and torture us. So we have to be very, very clear about this. We think that we can sometimes hide those people that hurt us, allow for the wounds to sit there, and not forgive them. And sometimes not forgiving people is a thing that we like to do, because we definitely like to seek vengeance. We like to somehow bring pain into that person's life, because a lot of times those wounds are very, very, very deep. And the only way that we can really react to them a lot of times, especially in the world, is we want to go back and somehow hurt that person. Unforgiveness will imprison us and torture us. Jesus, in his love, knows how terrible that is for us. He knows, as Christians, disciples of Christ, walking around being wounded by something in our life, it could have been 10, 20 years ago, it could have been, you know, the other day, and not forgiving that person is going to put us in a prison, and it's going to torture us. Now, as a pastor and as a counselor, I'm a pastoral counselor too, that I've heard many, many stories of atrocities that's happened in people's lives that were greatly, greatly wounded because of a person, because of a situation, or because of God. There are times that we will not forgive God because something was taken away from us, something that we held so deeply to us that it was taken away from us. It could be our health. It could be a loved one. It could be a situation where suddenly our finances are taken away. And sometimes we have this underlining unforgiveness to our Father in heaven that affects our way on how we respond to God in heaven. We don't find ourselves coming into His presence. We don't have the same joy that we have, that we used to have when we're talking about our God. And Jesus knows this very clearly. And He knows that we have to allow for God's strength to help us to forgive this person. I had a situation of a young man who had a bully in high school. And that bully shamed him. Also, he didn't realize it later on when we talked, was that he also shamed other people. But he took it so personally that what he did is he thought out ways to seek vengeance at this guy. He told me. He told me the times, some terrible things he wanted to do, and he just planned these things out. But now he's 6-7 years out from that situation. He's talking to me, and he basically says, I still struggle with this person in my life. In fact, I look forward to opportunity. Anytime somebody talks about this person, I'm hoping that something bad happens to this person. You know, and I'm definitely surprised by this, because you can see the hurt and the anger in this. You know, he always tries to talk bad about this person because he doesn't want anything good about him. And so we talked about forgiveness and said, you know, unless God forgives you, that bully is going to be in your life for the rest of your life. And through the process of healing and forgiveness, that you could be released from that bully. But that's my point, is that we can still have situations in our life 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago that the wound is still there, but we kind of sort of covered that up a little bit. So we have to deal with it. God wants us to deal with it. But only God can release us from empowering us to forgive. I don't know if you know this, but back about 15 years ago, the world of counseling, when a person has been victimized, been bullied by someone, been greatly hurt by someone, their method of bringing healing into that person was a couple ways. One is you get stronger. You do everything in your life to get stronger because you never want a person like this again, ever, to hurt you. So you do. You get stronger, and you never forgive that person because that person helps you. You're never going to be treated like that away again. If anybody even comes close to treating you that way, then you stand up and become strong. So that was your method. The other method was that you kind of try to repress it. Kind of talk about there are so many good things and other things in your life, but just kind of push it down. 15 years ago, Christian psychologists went to the convention of psychology and said, we have learned the best way to deal with this is to forgive that person. And they told why, and suddenly the world of psychology and counseling have changed when it comes to bringing healing to a person who has been greatly victimized, and that is to forgive. But I want you to know that it's almost impossible to forgive someone who has deeply hurt you, and there's so many scenarios to forgive them. Because God empowers us. God gives us this amazing ability through the Holy Spirit to forgive this person, because it takes that type of supernatural power to forgive a person who's been so greatly hurt. So, but God is so good. God is so loving. His gift to us, he says it very clearly in Scripture, I've given you the Holy Spirit to convict you. And in that conviction, I'm going to convict you of sin, but also I'm going to probe those hurts, those wounds in your life. And I will bring them up because you need to have those wounds healed. If you don't, it's going to affect the way that you treat others, how you treat yourself. Now, I'm going to share this with you because God is so good at it that he does bring up those wounds, and he does it time and time again, and he wants us to address those wounds. I have a torn meniscus. I tore it back last spring. I thought I was able to get it nice and healed, and I was working a lot of strength on it, trying to do strength muscles, but it was still torn, okay? And eventually, here, just about a month and a half ago, I went just try to get up from sitting, pushing off my left knee skiing, it popped again. And from that point on, it kept popping and popping. And God finally, you know, was getting my attention. I was, you know, the wound was getting my attention. You need to do something about this because it's stopping the way that you're living life. Because there's a lot of great things I love to do that I can't do because of that knee. And I just had it scoped out here this last Friday. So I'm looking forward to bringing healing to that need. In the same way, God continues to reveal to us through his Holy Spirit. He's bringing a light into that wound, whatever wound that is, and we have to be honest about that. We have to allow God to bring healing to that. So I want to do something very uniquely here. I'm not going to have you stand up and share your wounds. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Pastor Peter. But I want you to do this. Let's take a moment right now. And we know God is here. We know his presence is real. We know the Holy Spirit is with us. I want you to sit back in silent prayer and say, God, what are the wounds that I'm overlooking in my life right now? Was it a parent, a sibling back way long time ago? Was it a best friend? Was it a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Is there something that is affecting the way you live life right now? That wound, if I were to touch it, you would sit back and go, ouch, that hurts. What is it? It could be a division. It could be a situation where suddenly you had two amazing relationships with another person, and suddenly it broke because of something. And there's a wedge, and it kept pulling apart until you completely broke apart. And the hurt is still there. God wants us to be healed from that wound. So take this time in silence, close your eyes and pray, and ask God, what wound is still there? Who is that person? Who are those people groups? Has God done something to wound you? Now, in this silence, knowing that you cannot, with your own power, forgive whoever wounded you, ask God, God, give me the strength that comes from your Holy Spirit, the promised strength that you've given me. Help me, God, to learn how to forgive this person or this terrible situation that happened in my life. Please, God, help me to forgive this person. And God, help me to pray every day for this person, allowing for your words, allowing for your Holy Spirit to lead me to forgive this person, allow for that wound to heal. We pray this in your son's heart. Well, Valentine's Day, it's about the heart, isn't it? It's about a healthy, wonderful heart. And that's what Jesus' message was to us. He does not want us to go walking around with a wounded heart. That's his gift to us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful story, the parable, reminding us of how you, God, has released our debt. And God, we find ourselves being hurt by people, or ourselves, my goodness, God. Someone did something to us, someone that has a debt to pay in our lives, something, and we want to go out there and just choke this person. Help us to remind us and help us to be grateful the way that you have forgiven us, not only at that great moment in our lives when we came to you, but how you continue to forgive us in the ways that we hurt people, in the ways that we do sin in our lives. Something so minute compared to what you have done for us. Help us, God. Help us not to seek vengeance. Help us not to slander this person. Help us not to seek gossip and try to hurt that person, because those are the effects of a tortured heart. We just want to go out and hurt with our words. Help us, God, to allow for your healing to take place in our hearts. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Let's close with the...